Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Well, we're in our fourth week of this sermon series called Equip. It has been a good series. We are right in the middle of it today. This theme verse that we've been looking at comes from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, just a couple of verses here. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints. That's you. He gave the teachers, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. This series is intended to help us realize something very, very important for all of us. That God looks at you as a saint. That He looks at you and says, you are my child and I need you working in the kingdom. I need you. I've made you specifically for a purpose to do a very specific thing. And He is depending on you to grow your faith and to be equipped in that faith so that you can do the work, so that you can be engaged in the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean you get to a certain age to do that. We've watched children learning to do that right here in front of us today. So it doesn't matter the age. Elements of this series have been developed by Pastor Mike and our spiritual life team and have developed these seven critical areas that are in this wheel of sorts that's on the back of your insert. It's also available on the Spiritual Life's webpage on our site. And we have kind of gone through this understanding, and we're going through this understanding of how to be a well-grounded, a healthy disciple of Christ. And so this circle started in week one, where we looked at knowing God. What does this mean to have a relationship with a loving God? Week two, we looked at Scripture. Pastor Mike led us through a lesson where we looked at how we approach Scripture matters, and Scripture being some of the greatest foundation for us. It is God's revelation to us. Then last week, we looked at doctrine. We looked at the most critical components of our faith that don't change a lot. There's room for conversation, but they don't change a lot. They are the foundation of who we are, and they speak into the issues of our day, which is what we're going to look at today, kind of real-life issues. I want to encourage you today to grab your bulletin. Inside of your bulletin is an insert where you can follow along. Take some notes. Listen for the voice of God inside of you. There's a ladies' Bible study learning about identifying the voice of God and leaning into that. I encourage you to do that every Sunday. Listen for the voice of God. Write down, take some notes. If you like to use the Bible app YouVersion, there's a live event. Just open up the app, go to the menu there and look for events, and it will show up. And there's all the Scripture there available for you. But I encourage you today, listen for the voice of God as He wants to challenge you right now where you live. A couple of weeks ago, I put out there in the bulletin and invited any parents of teens to come and join us during youth group, which meets on Sunday nights. During youth group, just have a conversation. There was no agenda. There was no set of things I wanted to accomplish. It was just, let's come together and let's cry together. Let's talk together. Let's share together. And that's really what we did. We had a great group of folks, a few that joined us, and it was really, really good. Sharing concerns about how we parent, sharing concerns about how we discipline. We talked about how much we have in common in this parenting journey, in that we are, especially in those teen years, really struggling how to understand and teach our kids respect and values and so many things. I remember talking in that group about even how we would never go back ourselves. If given the opportunity, we wouldn't go back to middle school. You know, anybody else want to go revisit 7th and 8th grade? Not many of us. It's difficult years. It was difficult for us. It's difficult for them even more, probably because of so many of the things of the social media and phones in general. I ended our conversation in that circle asking this question: how does our faith impact our ability to parent and lead our home? How does our faith impact our ability to parent and lead our home? It wasn't a setup question to that group. Like, I had some great wisdom to give after asking the question. Sometimes I ask questions to you, I already know the answer, I'm setting you up. This was just a question. How does this work? And around that circle, we just shared ways that we could, you know, pray for our kids, ways that we could model discipleship. Honest questions about an honest dilemma and honest responses. It was a great circle. Today I ask you this question that's behind me. How does our faith impact our daily life? How does our faith impact our daily life? I've met many people in my lifetime who love to compartmentalize their faith. They like to put their faith kind of in this box. It usually fits very comfortably on an hour and a half on Sunday morning. We compartmentalize our faith into this box and we say, this is where my faith has right of way. But the rest of their life, things outside of church, things outside of their faith journey that we would consider to be structured religion, off limits. We would maybe title these things our religious life and our secular life, right? Our religious life and our secular life. I have a friend I was thinking of when writing this who is a friend I met in college. We were decent friends. He was a financial advisor. He managed money for dozens of clients and was pretty successful. But when the market changed and things got difficult, instead of being honest about the results of what the investments were producing, which nobody liked to get those statements in the mail, right? He would falsify those statements. And he would inflate what was happening. And some of that was coming back to him in terms of kickback. But the reality was it was illegal. So one day he found himself in jail. And he served quite a few years in jail for that. He was a godly man. He was faithful in his church. He prayed with his kids. I mean, this was a guy that I trusted. I would have had no problem trusting with any part of my life. But he compartmentalized his faith in Jesus and his secular life. It's a disconnect where it should be unified. Does that make sense? Some of you have suffered horrible loss in your life, even the loss of young children, which is some of the hardest things I could ever imagine. The ripples of grief and pain of those circumstances often turn into tidal waves, destroying relationships and creating negative self-worth, even in you. I have family that have experienced this. I know this too well. That's a disconnect where it should be unified. I've met non-married, God-loving couples, older ones and younger ones, and I mean they genuinely love Jesus. They have embraced grace and mercy without a doubt. But when it comes to sharing their physical body with one another, it's family worship, I'm trying to be careful here. When they choose to share their physical body together, they choose not to listen to God's standard. It's a disconnect where it should be unified. Likewise, I've known some who have faced bankruptcy in their life. Something that feels so hopeless on the front end. Sometimes those circumstances were things that they controlled. Sometimes they were circumstances that were well out of their control. But they've come out of it stronger and better in every area of their life. Their faith, their involvement in church, their friendships, and their marriage. Because they connected their faith with what was going on in their life. I've seen the pain of death bring people to their knees in a trust and worship to God like would have never happened without it. I've seen cancer cause physical destruction over a body, yet spiritual revival all at the same time. That's making a connection between faith and life. That's bringing it all under one umbrella. Why do some people experience life challenges and run from God, while some people choose to allow those moments to be the moments that cause them to draw closer to God? Well, I think a central reason why there's a difference for some is in how we would respond to these words recorded by John, but they were the words of Jesus, where he says, "Here on earth you will have many trials and many sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." Now, Some will look at this passage, will look at this and say, see, Jesus says he's overcome the world. Life will get easier if I follow Jesus. Other people take a different approach and understand that what Jesus has overcome might look just a little bit different than our temporary comforts of this world. I mean, was Jesus really serious when he said this? Because it feels like this world is still a train wreck, right? What is he intending to tell us when he says he's overcome the world? You know, instead of choosing to listen to these words, many of us ask the unanswerable question. Do you know what the unanswerable question is? Why would a loving God allow such calamity in our world? How many of you have heard that question this week? I mean, it's a question that I understand. I've even asked it myself many times. How many women had to stand on a podium this week in Lansing and talk about pain in a trial that has worldwide notoriety? I think most of you know what I'm talking about. There were 13 children found in Southern California just two Sundays ago who were malnourished and stunted in their growth significantly. 13 children that were biological children of this couple that they had chained to furniture, ranging in ages from like 6 to 28, until finally one of them broke free and got out and called the authorities. Did you hear about the school shooting this week in Kentucky? Killing 2 and injuring 16 more, total of 20 injured with all the chaos that ensued. Or the car bombing in Kabul, Afghanistan, killing nearly 100, wounding 150 more this week. I mean, the violence around us is senseless. And it's so common anymore that it's kind of one day news and on to the next thing. I remember hearing about these things, but to kind of confirm what had happened, I had to search. I had to kind of look a little harder to kind of make sure that I had all my details at least remotely accurately right, because we just move on to the next thing. Calamity, boom, big story, on to the next thing. Put that on the last page. I mean, these are the headlines. But then I also think about, what about that battered wife who's too afraid to ask for help and goes to work every day and has friends and never says what's going on in her home? Or I thought about the adult son who faithfully visits his mother, but she hasn't known him for years. I mean, that's heartache. That's pain. This world is broken. Our sin caused that. Our sin caused that, not God. But when our eyes are focused on what is broken in the world, we often miss what has been provided to fix that. I want to say that again because this is a central understanding of what I want to convey today. When our eyes are focused on what is broken in the world, we often will miss what has been provided to put it back together again, to make it right, to bring healing. So I want to ask you, what areas of your life do you find it difficult to allow faith to enter in? What areas of your personal life do you find it difficult to merge your faith with what you are experiencing? Maybe there's difficulty in your family. Maybe finances are out of balance. Balancing work and free time, physical health, accepting others that aren't like yourselves. Maybe the use of alcohol, tobacco, profanity. Maybe the addictions to things like food or spending or visually stimulating websites or videos. I mean, the list is too long for me to give them all to you, but you understand what I'm talking about. What I want to challenge you to do today is, would you make a list? Would you be willing to be vulnerable enough in your own self to make a list of what you struggle with to allow God territory, where you will struggle to allow God to speak into in your life? Sometimes you just find it easier to be mad at God than allow Him to come in and make sense of things. I want to share with you a statement that I think helps us understand how we need to approach every corner of our existence, every corner of our being. It's not a statement that will solve all your problems. It's not going to take away your pain. This statement won't cause instantaneous healing in your life, and it won't cause your teenager to suddenly behave the way you want them to behave. But it is a statement that is simple, easy to remember, and I believe founded on biblical truth. Here it is. We must submit to Christ and honor Him in every area of our life. Period. Well, exclamation mark in this case. We must submit to Christ and choose to honor Him in every area, not just the easy ones, not just the Sunday morning ones, in every area of our life. This statement destroys the option of living my religious convictions in one moment and living with my secular understanding in the next. It destroys that opportunity. Because what it's telling us is that we have to allow God access to every component of our life, not just the stuff that's easy. This statement demands that who I am in public is also who I am in private. This truth can keep you out of jail or create an atmosphere of hope when the storm clouds of life just seem to be following you like the cartoon. You ever feel like the storm clouds just follow you wherever you're going? I have got dear friends, several here, that I just feel like, could they just get a break? But there is a glimmer of hope when we submit to Christ and honor Him in every area of our life. I really believe that the Holy Spirit does this. I believe that the Spirit of God wants to speak into every issue of your life. Because as I read Scriptures, I see story after story after story of men and women just like you and I who hunger and thirst to honor God, to want to experience God. They want to see Him do amazing things, and they want to live obediently to give Him glory. That's I find in Scripture over and over again, and I resonate with that. I want to be like that. I think you do too. I read in the New Testament and in the letters that are written in the New Testament about disciples who are seeking the will of God in real life issues for their day. They seem kind of odd to us at times because they're talking about, you know, what kind of meat should I eat? Can women speak in church? And what kind of clothing is considered modest? And there's rules in there about parenting and marriage. It's very helpful for us. There's even things in there on how to be a good worker. They use the word slaves, but it's to help us understand how to work well. Dealing with the injustices of our days, sexual practices of their culture, various dietary standards, aiding the poor. The list goes on and on. This is just a letter of a group of people who are seeking the will of God to understand, how does God influence every corner of my life? The Bible is accurately portraying how to do that today just as much as it was when Paul was inspired by the Spirit to write what he was writing, and the other writers of the New Testament and Old Testament as well. The Bible is ready to speak into your life. In a broad sense, this is what I believe Paul was writing in Colossians 2 when he says these words, "And now, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." When Jesus said, "I've overcome the world," He wasn't implying that He was taking over the earth and making it subject to Himself. That day is coming, but He wasn't referring to that in that statement. What I believe He was intending to say was that He recognizes that this world is subject to pain. This world is subject to frustration. This world is subject to disappointments. This is true. But He has come to infuse your world and my world with hope. He has overcome this world because of His power over death. He has come to offer us hope and give us a better view of what existence is really about. See, I find hope in the fact that this world isn't the end of my existence. I didn't talk to these people beforehand, so I apologize. But these are the people that inspire me when I think about this. Michelle Cole, who lives daily with blindness. I cannot fathom that. And she's parenting three toddlers and Blake and Bob at the same time. I thought of Leonard Whitbrow sitting right here on the front row as well, dealing with daily pain and unsteadiness of being able to walk. You're an inspiration. Because if you talk to this guy, he oozes Jesus. I thought of Lauren Huffman, who's often here, back here today, who deals with constant pain, paralyzed. And yet when you talk to Lauren, that is a disciple of Christ. And I know that the trials are difficult. I know it. But man, does he inspire. You just talk to that kid for a minute. I think of Bob and Carol Coe, who marked another birthday this past week, of a daughter that they don't have with them on this earth, but she's waiting. You just can't rush. But she's waiting. You all inspire me to not want to be tempted to complain about the junk that I deal with, the stupid stuff. But I'll tell you this, that God is ready to deal with all of our real life issues and to give us hope. These are examples of people that would not allow their circumstances to tear them away from God. Instead, they ran to God in those moments. And I know there's plenty more examples. You're like, why didn't he choose me? I only had time for 4 or 5. See, I want to be a disciple who wants to run to God in the moments that are most challenging. And my moments are nothing compared to some. But Lord, help me to be a person who doesn't look at the world and say, I want to live by this standard on this day. Oh, but when I want to go to church, I'm going to go ahead and live by this standard this day. That's not the disciple I want to be. See, I think there's a difference between a secular worldview and a biblical worldview. In the area of our finances, for example, I think we're called to live a lifestyle of generosity, not debt, of giving, not of pleasure, of investing in others, not investing in worldly gain. In the area of parenting, you know, I think if I've heard it once, I've heard it a dozen times, these kids just need to figure this out on their own. No, they need to be taught the Bible. They need to be trained in the ways of God. And that's our job as parents primarily. And we partner with you as a church to help you see that. In the area of media and, you know, music and TV and movies, I mean, I want to find enjoyment in things that lift up the human spirit. Not put on an idol someplace, the stupidity of the human spirit. I got more to say, but I'll get in trouble. Well, here's the next one. How about in politics? Instead of a couple of zoo animal parties, how about we consider the human condition? How about we make policies that actually help somebody and not keep them down? How about we help, you know, this world instead of trying to keep employed? Okay, I'll stop. No, but it gets better. How about in marriage? I got real. See, I believe love is a choice, not a feeling. Because there are days I don't feel it. But I decided it. And I will stick with it. It's what I see. If you believe that love is to, or marriage is meant to make you happier, you might struggle. Because there are days marriage isn't happy. But there are days that it will make you holy. In the areas of tragedy, illness, disease, war, senseless murder, accidents, long-term disabilities, endless pain and frustration, I choose a long view of life, not a narrow view of life. Not one that is, you know, limited by the number of years that I walk on this earth, but by my future existence, which can't be measured in days or years or decades. See, my future existence is where my eyes need to be. If our eyes are on this planet, we will see nothing but brokenness. But if our eyes are on the eternal kingdom of God, we will see nothing but restoration. If our eyes are on this planet, we will see nothing but brokenness. But if our eyes are on the eternal kingdom of God, we will see nothing but restoration. Romans chapter 8, we've been in that book and chapter twice already today. But let me say this in verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that pleases the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Pastor Kelly brought this passage to us this week in our staff meeting, not knowing that it was going to fit exactly with what I was wanting to share this day. Because see, life is not about what you necessarily want or getting easy. It's really about control. Who's in control? And if your focus is on us, then you want to be in control. But if your focus is on the Spirit of God, which should be in you as a follower of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, then your focus is on Him and how to glorify Him even when you don't get any playing time, even when you suffer an injury, even when you take a decrease in pay or lose your job, even when the doctor's report isn't as good as you'd wanted, even when there's arguments in the home constantly, even when the environment at work is so unfulfilling, even when you get a speeding ticket, even when you just turn on the news and just turn it off in disgust. The reality is God is in control. If the Spirit of God is in us, then our eyes should be on Him. If we want to experience the joy that God has to offer us, even in difficult times, let us listen to Philippians chapter 4, where it says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord." I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. This was written 2,000 years ago, by the way. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. May that be my banner. I don't know how to live there most days. I want that to be part of my banner. I want to challenge you with three things as the worship band is coming to lead us in a song that reminds us of God's presence that comes and fills us. Number one, when going through difficult times, when going through challenging and confusing times, when you're going through heartache and pain, can I challenge you to do this? Pray and seek God's presence. Scripture says we have not because we ask not. Number one, seek His presence when going through difficult times. Number two, when you're seeking His presence, decide that you want to draw close to Him. Don't run away from Him. Lean into Him. It's not the time to run away. It's the time to run to Him when times get tough. Now, the third thing I want you to understand about this is that when you do this, when you decide to pray and seek Him, when you decide to run toward Him and draw close, then you will experience not an outer transformation as much as an inner transformation. I had this conversation with one of my teenagers in the house this week. Oh, wait, I only have one in the house. I said, I'm not concerned about your outer behavior as much as I'm concerned about the inner. I can change you on the outside by taking things away and disciplining you, but the reality is I'm much more worried about your heart than behavior, because I believe it all starts in the heart anyways. If you want to face life's struggles, if you want to face MS like Debbie Simmons, if you want to face death and sorrow, if you want to face the struggles of not knowing what future may look like, if you want to do that all on your own, I wish you all the luck in the world. But it will be a difficult existence. But if you want to face it with Christ, He is here waiting for you, and He is ready to show you more things than you could have ever hoped if your life was going well and easy. It's in the darkest times that we get closer. It's in the darkest times that we find new truth. It's in the darkest times that we grow. I don't wish for challenging moments in my life, but with God's strength, may we all embrace them to give Him glory and honor. When we feel all alone, may we be reminded that Christ has never left our side, but He is always all around us. Lord Jesus, help us on this day to respond to Your word, Your mercy, and Your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.